Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Well, it is official. It's not surprising, but Justin Fields, who went into concussion protocol when he took two pretty big hits from Joey Bosa late in the Jets' beatdown at the hands of the Buffalo Bills, Aaron Glenn made it very clear at the beginning of his press conference today, he's out. He's ruled out. He will not play Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think anybody should be surprised by that. Tiki, you laid it out on Monday. It's very difficult to get out of the concussion protocol. And so Aaron Glenn ended all speculation on Wednesday. He was not cleared to practice today. He was never going to be.
Yeah.
And so he will not play Sunday. Tyrod Taylor will. And we'll see. Hopefully for the sake of Justin, because head injury is a serious business, hopefully he will get out of the protocol and be fine. But
depending on how Tyrod Taylor plays.
Well,
jokingly. Tyrod Taylor is great. You know what? Take another week. It's all good. Get a little bit more better.
I hope his head feels better, and I hope he's in a good position to be able to play.
Yes.
But yeah, if the Jets win and Tyrod plays well, I would certainly take it week to week. But the thing about Tyrod Taylor is I've always admired him. Like he's a good quarterback.
Yes.
I remember last year saying to you right around this time, hey, I think was it last year at this time or 2 years ago at this time? I said, you know what? Tyrod Taylor's better than Daniel Jones. Hmm. And if you look at Tyrod Taylor's career and what he accomplished briefly in Buffalo and the opportunities he got to play as a backup throughout his career, it was really mostly Buffalo. That's the majority of his games. He's won as many games as he's lost.
Yeah.
He's put up like really good stats.
Yeah.
The issue with him is, can he stay healthy?
That's the biggest thing with him every single year. Doesn't matter where he's been. All of it's not his fault. Obviously, was it San Diego?
Yeah, the Chargers thing, bro.
Was it San Diego or were they Los Angeles by then? Whatever it was. He got punched in, you know, getting a shot, gets hit in the lung, and ends up missing a month or so. If he's healthy, he is a perfect backup, because he can win games for
you.
Yeah, he's mobile, athletic enough. He's not going to put the ball in harm's way. He just hasn't been available enough.
That's the biggest issue with him. Can he stay available? Will he hold on to the football too long and take some massive hit on Sunday? And then all of a sudden, the Jets are looking at a backup to a backup. A rookie quarterback would be forced to play named Brady Cook, who we saw briefly in the preseason. I assume they're going to elevate him from the practice squad. He's the only other quarterback on their roster. So that's the thing with Tyrod. Can he stay healthy? But if he's healthy, he gives them a chance to win. But this reminded me of something.
Which is?
It's called the Jet Quarterback Game. Would you like to play?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Since the Mark Sanchez era, because Mark Sanchez was actually like a pretty good era in Jet football. It's the last time they made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's the last time they were anywhere decent. It's the last time we actually thought, hey, we may have a quarterback. Since the Mark Sanchez era ended, Tyrod Taylor will be the 16th different quarterback to start a game for the New York Jets. And that doesn't include Mark Sanchez. If we include Mark, it's 17 different people. So since Mark Sanchez's era ended, Tyrod will be number 16. How many can you guys name? I've got the list in front of me. I've got it based on games played, so I can tell you who's number one on the list. One through 15 is what I'll call it. After Mark Sanchez.
After Mark Sanchez. Can I go the other way?
You can go the other. Well, there's a guy who started one game. You want to go to that guy?
Yeah, Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't even include Justin Fields.
So there's 16 total guys, we're guessing?
No, I'm kidding. If we include Mark Sanchez, there are 16 guys. So if we include Mark Sanchez, it's 16 total guys.
Wow.
Justin Fields is on this list. He has started two games as quarterback of the New York Jets.
And you're including Tyrod Taylor or no?
I'm not, because he hasn't started a game yet.
So Justin Fields.
Justin Fields has started two games. He is tied for 13th on the list.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers started 18 games. He is 6th on the list.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson started 33 games. He is third on the list.
Mike White.
Mike Bleepin' White started 7 games. He's tied for ninth on the list.
This is only starters?
Started a game.
Started a game.
Not appeared in a game. Started a game as quarterback for the Jets, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
All these guys started a game, which means we've gone into a football weekend where I've been on the radio saying, starting for the Jets is blank.
All right. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold is actually number two on this list. He has started 38 games for the Jets, trailing only Mark Sanchez. You could say Mark Sanchez.
Right.
Mark started 62, by the way, which is far and away higher.
Yeah, well, because he was good.
He was good.
For a couple of years, and they won with him. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick started 27 games. He's fifth on this list.
Now this is where I get lost.
You're getting traded. There's a lot of names left, Teak.
I know. At least I got halfway.
I got three more.
Go ahead.
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian started 4 games. He's 11th on this list.
Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty started 7 games. He's tied for 9th on this list.
And whichever McCown played for the Jets.
Josh.
That would be Josh. He started 16 games. He is 7th on the list. So right now you're missing the guy who's 4th on the list.
Fourth?
Yeah, the guy who's 4th on the list you have not said yet. He's currently a starter in the NFL, so I'm waiting.
I got it. Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, correct.
And we didn't mention Joe Flacco.
Well, one at a time. So Geno Smith is 4th on this list. He started 30 games. Joe Flacco started 9 games. He's 8th on the list. So you've got
more.
You got 1, 2.
4 more. And now all these guys are at the bottom, right?
These guys are going to be 12th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Yes.
Did Josh Johnson start a game for the Jets?
He did not.
Did Christian Hackenberg ever start for the Jets?
See, that's dead wrong. The beauty of Christian Hackenberg is he never played. And that's why Tiki said he wasn't a bust, because he never played.
Right, that's right.
He never proved
couldn't even start the Jets.
He never proved that he couldn't play, so therefore he
that's
is not
my favorite dumb argument me and Tiki had.
That was a dumb one.
Tiki's like, he's not a bust because he never played. And I'm like, he was so bad he never played.
That's true.
All right, so you're missing 4 guys.
I'm lost. I'm out on this. I have no idea.
All right, are you guys tapping out? I'll give you the rest of the names.
I just want to know this. Did Tim Tebow ever start a game?
He did not.
Okay.
It's not Tim Tebow. So the guy who started 1 game on this list is Greg McElroy.
Damn it, Greg McElroy.
The guy who
Holy
started.
Holy cow, I forgot he was even on the team.
I'll never forget when he was going to start that weekend. Joe and I are like, maybe we got something.
Ooh,
with this guy.
Oh, I got one because you said McElroy. Faulkner?
Bryce something?
No, we got Bryce Petty. Damn it. Faulk.
Luke Faulk started 2 games.
Maybe we got something with this Luke Faulk, bro.
So you're missing 2 guys. One of them is real recent, and the other one is a legend.
No. The dope that threw the pick to Holland.
Okay, go ahead.
Boyle.
Timmy Boyle. Who can spin it. He started 2 games as quarterback for the Jets. And the last guy that you haven't named is...
Is he 16th?
No, he started 3 games for the Jets. He's 12th on the list. And I'm not kidding you. Legend. Like, I don't think... I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not being a jackass. Is a guy that everyone in the audience has heard of. Everyone remembers.
Is he still in the league?
He is not still in the league, but he's, I would say, almost was borderline legend.
Legend?
Yeah.
The Jets had a legendary quarterback. So
look, he's not a legend to me.
Oh, I got it.
He's not a legend to you.
I got it.
It's not Chris Streveler.
I have it. I think. Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. There you go.
Oh. Definitely a legend.
He's definitely a legend.
Thank you. Michael Vick.
When the hell did he?
2011 or 12?
I would have bet that was pre-Sanchez.
It was not. I would have, too.
It was not.
Because I feel like Michael Vick was my era.
What was the end of his career?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Starting for the Jets.
But now it makes sense. He started the Matt Dodge Giants game for the Eagles. That was 2010, so that had to have been post-Eagles.
It was after the Eagles, yeah. So those are the 17 guys. Tyrod Taylor obviously being the 17th guy to start
and
for the New York Jets.
He has not started yet.
And he hasn't even started yet.
Right.
So he's got to get there. And then, God forbid, something happens to him, we'll be adding Brady Cook to this list. So that exercise is just a reminder.
Wow. How many years?
So I would say the Sanchez era started in 2009 and ended in 2012, I think, was probably the end of him.
Right.
So you're talking
13 years.
Yeah. The last start he ever made for the Jets was in 2012. And then 13 was the year he got hurt in the Snoopy Bowl incident with Geno Smith. So really you're looking at 2012 to now, and Tyrod Taylor is going to be their 17th quarterback. So it's an exercise in futility.
Wow.
This is who the Jets are.
Wow. You know who hasn't been futile? The Pittsburgh Steelers. That is the game of the week. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. That's only $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. As I mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers are taking on, or are visiting, I should say, the New England Patriots.
Mike in Cedar Grove, what's going on today, Mike?
Yeah, before I flip my lid, good afternoon, guys. How are we doing?
Doing well. Well, what are you going to flip your lid about today, sir?
What a perfect segue into what I'm about to talk about here with the quarterback game for the New York Jets.
Yes.
I'm going to preface this. I'm a Jets and Yankees fan, casual basketball fan, right? So all summer long, it's like, Volpe sucks. The Yankees win a bunch of games. It feels mediocre. Like, okay, like not really tickling my fancy. Get me to football season. Oh, the Mets, let's take our four best hitters and spread them around the lineup. Tommy, love you. Not really tickling my fancy.
Right.
Justin Fields gets signed to the New York Jets. Not really tickling my fancy. Get me to football season. And here we are. And it's how many games can the Jets win in September? How many quarterbacks have they started since Mark Sanchez? Find out after the break, powered by Cal Fair Tire. Nobody needs Cal Fair Tire, not even the New York Jets. Seriously. You can take 11 guys from Cal Fair Tire and line them up against the Jets. It'll be 9-3. I'm so sick of every year. It's like pointless, worthless. I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a fantasy football manager this time of year because I have nothing to look forward to. And I know I sound crazy. I know Aaron Glenn's got the culture. We're in the right direction. But, like, what am I looking forward to? Who's in the pocket right now that's going to play quarterback when Justin Fields show us what we already know he is, an athlete that will win a couple games? We came down from the highest of highs in my adult sports fandom off of Aaron Rodgers, and this is where we're at, the quarterback game, and will the Jets and Giants win at all this year?
Yeah.
At week three?
Yeah, but you're just tired of it. It sucks.
I'm so tired of it. I put so much like excitement and effort into every football season because football is king, and this is what we get. And it's not your fault. I'll come and listen to the WFAN radio every single day to listen to it. You guys do a great job.
Well, Mike, let me try to give you Mike. A little small sliver of hope.
And Town Fair appreciate you as well.
Yes, I'm sure they do. Let me give you a sliver of hope. While I'm not confident. And certainly I would define the loss to Buffalo as sort of demoralizing. And a part of why it was demoralizing wasn't just the Bills destroying them, because I don't think the Bills did anything that special. It wasn't just strictly, ooh, Buffalo's more talented. The Jets made so many mistakes.
Right.
And if they're going to win games, they cannot make mistakes
like that.
They felt inept.
And that was the last thing you expected after seeing what the Jets did in week one.
You're right. But I want to give everybody hope, as a New York Jet fan and as a football fan. If they can win on Sunday, season's on.
Mm-hmm.
If they can win on Sunday and get to 1-2 with a Monday night game against the Dolphins, who may well have a brand new head coach by the time they get there, the hope is alive. And I want to give you a stat that I hope gives you hope as a Jet fan. And here's a true stat. You could tell your friends when you're at the bar, you're getting ready for the game on Sunday. And I'm curious if Tiki's aware of it because it's personal. It's damn personal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are currently 2-0.
Yes.
If they win on Sunday against our football team, they're 3-0. When was the last time that Tampa Bay Buccaneers started 3-0?
Was it 2012?
It wasn't 2012, Teak. Your brother was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You were playing in the NFL.
Rondé was still playing in 2012.
Oh, well, you weren't playing in 2012.
That was that.
You've got to go all the way back to 2005 for the last time the Buccaneers started 3-0. And if you hear that and say it doesn't mean anything, give me something else, I give you one more thing to maybe wet your whistle. In 2024, that's last year. In 2023, that's the year before that. 2022, year before that, and in 2021, for four consecutive years, the Bucs have started 2-0, but they've lost week three.
So history
is on our side.
And
Sunday in Tampa.
Chris Godwin is out. I think he's been out for most of the start.
Yeah, he
season.
Hasn't. Yes, he hasn't played.
Tristan Wirfs is also out and didn't practice today, but that doesn't mean his status for the game will be out. And then
they got another injury on their defensive line as well.
Kalijah Kansi.
Yeah, Kansi is IR, right?
Yeah.
Because he tore peck.
Tore his peck. And their right tackle, Gedeki, now looks like he's going to be out.
Luke Gedeki is limited.
They're coming off a dramatic win. It's a short week. I got to tell you, this is a game the Jets could win. And dare I say, should win.
And the Bucs are going to look ugly doing it, as they are breaking out their orange creamsicles for this game.
Oh, Rondé
loves the creamsicle.
Does he?
They are hideous.
Because they were wearing their creamsicles when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so that doesn't help, Sean. You did not add to the cost at all.
They switched to the red ones.
Oh, I know, but that was they wore them that year.
Oh, like as a throwback?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
If you're going to try to help, come with something that helps.
No. Right.
Like
the Bucks,
my whole 2-0 thing, the 3-0 thing. You just made it worse.
No. The Bucks' darkest era pre the uniform change happened. They were called the Yucks.
But you know when they come back, the old school uniforms, they're actually better than they were when they were terrible. They're just dope. Like the Giants throwback uniforms are cool as hell.
But they never win in them.
That's because the Giants haven't been good. The Bucks have been good. As much as we want to knock Todd Bowles for his tenure with the New York Jets.
No, they've done a very good job.
Todd Bowles is a hell of a head coach.
He's done a wonderful job.
In fact,
I was
telling you guys the brilliance of his victory against the Texans last week. The Texans were in field goal range already. The Bucks just let him score with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left.
Get the ball in Baker's hands.
Why? Because they knew that they wanted the ball in Baker's hands, which they ultimately did. He goes down and scores a winning touchdown. If they try to play defense, they probably lose the game because the Texans kicked the game-winning field goal with no time on the clock.
Which is brilliant and shows you Todd Bowles' growth, because when he was the Jets coach, he would have then gotten the ball and punted.
Yes.
So I just want you to understand, I tried to pump up our last caller. I tried to pump myself up. And let's figure out what you guys did. Sean talked about uniforms, and Tiki talked about how brilliant Todd Bowles is.
Yep.
You didn't help my cause.
The New York Jets suck.
I'm sorry he wasn't great for you all.
No, he wasn't.
For that 1 year, he was really damn good, though.
For 15 out of 16 weeks, he was fine.
Yes.
It was really the last week in Buffalo that it all went to hell.
That's right.
And then it was downhill ever since.
They didn't make the playoffs that year. Right?
They did not make the playoffs that year.
But whatever.
They were in a position where they were facing Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills up in Buffalo, and this is before the Bills were any good.
Yeah.
And if they won that game, they were then going to not only make the playoffs, Teak, they were going to play the Bengals. And we kind of know the deal.
Yep.
The
Bengals don't win.
Right.
At least back then, they did not win in the postseason.
Yeah, this is the pre-Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor era.
Yes.
So the Jets not only would have made the playoffs, there's a decent chance they would have given us a run.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we've gotten the runs. Let's go to Reed in Manhattan. What's up, Reed?
Hey, Reed.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Evan, I love that you're keeping hope in this Jets season. That's what we have to do as fans. I'm a big Jets fan as well. And I've got a stat for you, another reason that I still have hope. 1.1, which is Justin Fields' QBR in week two, and the fact that he's not going to be playing quarterback for us. So my question is, if Tyrod Taylor plays well, do we consider keeping him as the starting quarterback?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I totally agree.
You consider it. I don't know if you fully do it, but it will definitely be a consideration.
This is a win business.
Yes.
And Justin Fields, fair or not, while he once was a prized prospect when he was a high pick by the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. is now a lottery ticket. And when you are a lottery ticket, you are not afforded a million opportunities like you're a cat.
Yeah.
So it stinks to lose your job because of injury. That's not fair. But he also kind of lost his job because he was also horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he played in week two, one of the worst games we've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is a good problem to have. I hope we have it, Reed. But as long as the Jets win, whoever the starting quarterback is, you know, barring something crazy like Tyrod Taylor's awful, but the Jets win because they forced five turnovers, you know,
right.
something like really nuts that we can't see happening, I think you have to play the hot hand. Because a part of changing the culture that Aaron Glenn talks about is you got to win some games.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not just about playing better or looking better. You got to win.
It's also for him, for Aaron Glenn. If you lose, I don't know, 14 games in your rookie season as head coach, it's really hard to get back to 500 and become respectable in the minds of people who don't watch you every year, right? All the thing they'll say is, man, he's only whatever it is after year two. He's 12 and whatever the number is, 18 in his career. It doesn't,
right.
Like, it's just, you don't recover from that. It takes a while to become a good head coach in people's minds. And so winning games is paramount early in your career as a coach. Forget as players, no, yep. as a coach.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anthony's in Westchester. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, guys? One, going on your Jets thing, I'm going to quote the great Joe Beningo. Thank God for drugs. that quarterback yes. list was painful.
Yes.
Speaking of painful, we're going to just segue right in. Evan, your starting pitching thing for the Yankees is almost as painful as listening to the Yankees explain their analytics and how Anthony Volpe is a great player. Look, the Yankees don't take the regular season seriously. The Yankees take us fans, and they know they're going to make money off of us. They sold out the stadium in back-to-back days for the Savannah Bananas. They're not going to play with the rotation. They're just not. Honestly, the Savannah Bananas will probably go further in the playoffs than the Yankees will.
Anthony, my daughter was there.
It doesn't make sense.
My daughter went to that.
Yeah. And how many Yankee games did she go to this year?
Zero.
That's all you need to know.
Okay, exactly.
Thank you. But what's the flaw in my idea around this wild card series?
Do you remember in, I believe it was 2019, when we started D.B. Garcia in game two in Fenway, and then he pitched an inning, and it went to Jay Happ?
It was the Tampa Bay Rays. It was 2020, and it was the COVID season.
Wasn't it Petco Park?
Yeah, it wasn't anywhere. But I get your point. I remember that. Yes,
I don't see the only thing I can see them doing is maybe they'll flip flop and they'll go Freed, Heel, Rodon because they'll try to break up the two lefties.
But Anthony, I want to go back a second because I've thought about this idea for 5 years. I remember bringing it up to Aaron Boone in 2020 and he laughed at it about not starting Gerrit Cole in game one. I've thought about this for years. You still didn't give me a reason why it doesn't work. Forget about what the Yankees should do or the Davey Garcia experiment, which to me is completely different. You are guaranteeing Max Fried's going to start in the playoffs. You're just holding off on when you use him.
Yeah.
I don't see the issue, so tell me what the issue is.
Well, the issue is going to be, in my opinion, the two Baltimore series to end the season, they're actually going to matter for the Yankees. They're going to need to actually win games to make sure that they play home games in the wild card series. Because as I think you guys talked about it yesterday or the day before, when the Yankees play on the road in the playoffs versus at home, it's Jekyll and Hyde. It's right. What we've seen all season. The Yankees are Jekyll and Hyde. The Yankees are going to need to value wins in the regular season, not only for someone who may have them at 91.5 or over, but they need to secure home field advantage. If they don't get home field in the wild card series, I mean, I don't care if you bring Guidry back to pitch game one or not.
It gets dicey.
I agree that home field's important, but you cannot compromise your playoff rotation to win games to get home field advantage. That'd be a monstrous mistake. So I kind of disagree with you. Like, yeah, the games are important, but other than the Friday game, where you could afford to start Max Fried, especially if you're going to go with my idea, because Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, his fifth day would technically be game two in case you need him under the Evan plan.
Right.
Other than that, Saturday and Sunday, I mean, you can't mess around. You just can't. You can't screw with your rotation because you think home field advantage is important. I agree home field's important, but not at the expense of screwing up my playoff rotation. And you know who agrees with me?
Who?
Boone does, because I heard him asked the other day by John Boy and Jake, hey, would you start a Freed or a Rodon if it was home field advantage? And he said, absolutely not. He said, no, we're not going to compromise a postseason series for seeding.
Right, you'd rather trust Freed on the road.
Absolutely, because you want to pitch him.
Of course.
But what our last caller did, and I respect him, but he didn't accomplish anything. If you don't like my idea, give me a reason, because I haven't heard one. Like, even 3 years ago, and this is still an issue I have with a lot of Met fans and those in the national media, Buck took my advice. Buck did my idea. It's why Jacob DeGrom didn't start in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they lost game one, so they had to go to DeGrom in game two. They won game two. They lost game three with Chris Bassett. The idea wasn't why the Mets lost, though some people wrote that. Oh, Buck was too smart. No, it had nothing to do with why they lost. The plan actually was fine.
Yeah, but what happens if they win game one? Isn't it a better, aren't you in better position?
What do you mean? If I win game one, I'm not starting Max Fried in game two. I'm saving him.
No. I'm talking about with the Mets example.
If Scherzer had won game one, Bassett would have started game two. DeGrom would have started game three. Or game one of the DS if I had advanced.
But why would you do that?
Why wouldn't you do that?
Why would you put yourself in position to have to rely on your best pitcher to be his greatest early in the playoffs?
What? Why would I not want my best pitcher pitching the more important game? If I'm playing a winner-take-all game, wouldn't I want a Jacob DeGrom or, in this case, a Max Fried starting that game?
The next game is always the most important game.
Not if I'm up 1-0, it's not. I have a safety net.
Just end it. Forget the safety net.
Why?
Because you just end it.
If I win it
in the series.
Disagree. If I win it without using my best pitcher, I have my best pitcher ready to start game one of the DS.
But that's a passive way to try to win.
No, it's not.
Absolutely.
I'm starting him either way, Teak. What's the negative?
Absolutely, it's a passive way to try to advance.
What's the negative?
I can't. I'm not going to find a negative.
Of course, because there isn't a negative.
Other than you're pitching an inferior pitcher when you have a chance to close out the series.
But I'm keeping my superior pitcher available to pitch either in a winner take.
Why would you need to do that?
Why would I not do that?
All right, so the problem is you're not answering my question.
You're not answering my question.
If you believe that no matter what happens in game two, because this is what you're saying, Chris Bassett starts game two, he loses. If you believe that Jacob DeGrom is winning game three, why not just start him in game two?
Because if I win game two, I'll have him ready to start the division series, which gives me a better chance to win that next round. I'm doing both.
Can't you do that anyways?
No. No. Because if I... Let's use the Yankees as an example.
This is why CC Sabathia is a Hall of Famer.
What? Well, I agree, but why is that?
Because he would have started the next series anyway.
Oh, because he would have pitched on short rest.
Yes.
You know how many
games... Because you know why? In order to be great, you have to be great.
Look, CC's on another level. You know how many times Max Fried has started on short rest?
I don't know. Never.
So the real technical
answer. I think it was one.
It was one, but it wasn't. It was Fugazi.
What do you mean?
He started on short rest after he had only pitched like two innings in his previous start.
Oh, got it.
So it doesn't count.
Oh, so he sucked. So he got pulled. So he was. Kind
I don't
of
know
okay.
if it was. I think it may have been a rainout, but whatever.
Right.
That's not even the point. Yeah, guys don't go on short rest. Mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole can go on short rest. Unfortunately, he's not available.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, CC's great. Yeah, it'd be amazing if guys pitched on short rest.
Right.
You, like our last caller, have not solved my riddle at all. My idea works. You have nothing to argue against.
My idea is just win the first two.
But why not better position yourself for the next round if I can get there?
Evan.
Go ahead.
Would you agree that...
Take your shot.
Would you agree that both Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge are walking injury-prone players at times?
Sure.
Okay. So why am I trying to play them in more games by, if you win game one, go, you know what? Whatever happens in game two, we have Max Fried playing in game three. Then you pitch Max Fried in game three, and there's a bleak injury for Judge.
Because you're playing an extra game either way. Like you, once
you
win, yes, because once you win game one, you're guaranteed another game. It's either game three or the very next round.
No, but
so I'm playing the long game.
No, if you close it out in two and not play for a game three in that scenario, why don't I want to finish the series quick enough? Like, if you're not deploying Fried in game one
gotcha.
And you win,
yeah.
Your idea is that we'll keep pushing the game three. No. Close the hammer down and win game two. The more I play, the more I'm putting everything at risk.
No, you are. I wouldn't disagree with that. But I'm also better positioning myself to win in the next round or better positioning myself to win a winner-take-all game three. Like, that's why it makes sense. And I don't have any idea if Boone's going to do this. He didn't do this in 2020. And that was my first crack to bring this up to him during the pandemic. I told him, I said, I wouldn't start Gerrit Cole in game one. And he was like, what? I said, yeah, I'd start somebody else. I'd have him in game two. And if I win game one, I wouldn't start him in game two. So obviously he didn't listen, but this is very different. I think also we have more of a sample size now of this wild card series. So I stand by it. And you guys made a great effort, but you haven't convinced me like even one like centimeter.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to convince you. I'm just arguing for argument's sake.
Oh, are you?
Because I'd rather just get the series over with.
I got you. This guy on hold says I'm lost. Let's go with that guy. Let's see if he's got something. I bet she's got nothing. I bet she's going to be all bark and no bite. Casey and Rockland, you got nothing, bro. You got nothing.
Evan, I get what you're saying, but in postseason baseball, you want to save your bullpen as much as possible. So if game one, you throw Max Fried, and let's say he goes eight innings, and you go to Bednar in the ninth, and they win game one, your bullpen is saved for the rest of the series. Let's say the Yankees decide to go Rodon or someone else, and after five innings, they implode. The Yankees bullpen is weak as it is. We don't want to waste as many arms early in the season and, handicap yourself.
But I'll tell you why I don't care about that. In a wild card series, the most amount of games in a row you're going to play are three, and then there's an off day. Mm. And then there's two games, and then there's an off day. And then there's two games, and then there's an off day. I think you are very capable of throwing all of your arms as much as humanly possible.
Right.
So it's not like you're playing 9 days in a row. This isn't the regular season. So I get your point, but I don't buy it. Good try.
All right, let me try. I'll finish it.
I might as well
take a shot here. I'll
Go
sit
ahead.
On Santa's lap as well.
Go ahead.
All right. I agree with Tiki and Sean that I would want to go for the win in game two and end the series. So let's say you go with your idea, and we'll use the Mets example from when they played the Padres, and you pitch Jake in game three, and you win game one. Max Scherzer wins that game, and you pitch Bassett in game two, and he gets blown out, and you lose. Number one, you give the other team confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You get him off the mat. And then what if Jake loses a 1-0 game? Like, he pitches great, and he gets out-dueled, and you save Jake for that game three.
You still pitched him.
I know
that.
It's
not like you didn't use him.
I know that, but I'm trying to think of the best way to put this.
When you have a team on the mat, you want to finish them off?
Exactly. Yes. Correct.
When the Mets lost game against the Padres, and they went back to Jacob DeGrom, and they won game two, did that really help them in game three? Or did they get shut down by a guy who had Vaseline all over his ear?
I understand that, but Bassett...
Momentum means nothing is my point. Momentum is as good as the next day's starting pitcher, and if my next day's starting pitcher is Max Fried, I will roll the freaking dice. Just like if the next day's starting pitcher is Jacob DeGrom, I will roll the freaking dice.
The problem.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Is the problem is when you put it that way, you might as well get that next day starting pitcher already in the mix.
I hurt my chances at the next round. If I can pitch for it, let me walk you through it this way. Yankees win game one behind Rodon. I say, screw it. I'm going to save Fried. I go to Luis Hill. And let's say I win game two.
They're pitching, and he's pitching in the next round anyways.
Max Fried is set to pitch twice in the next round.
Yeah.
Not just game one, but twice. That gives me a better chance of winning in the next round. So not only have I not hurt myself in the first round, I give myself a better shot to advance in the next round.
But you're a walking hypocrite.
No, I'm not.
Because you have been, I think, on this show, the biggest proponent of do or die, game sevens, game three, game five, anything can happen, specifically in baseball. So why the hell are you playing into a scenario of get me to an anything can happen game? We want to end it before
because
we get to that scenario.
Let's say you go to Fried to end it. And same thing that Tommy described, you lose 1-0. Now the end-all winner-take-all game features Luis Hill, who you have less confidence
in. But at least I took a shot to not be in an end-all winner-take-all game.
Why wouldn't I take a shot to win the winner-take-all game with my best starter?
I'd rather avoid being in a winner-take-all game.
I'd rather position myself to win in the next round and win in the first round. I can do both.
Well, you're a poo-poo face.
That's a good way to end the argument. We'll get back to your calls in a minute, 888-808-1019. And did Aaron Glenn, unprovoked, take a shot at Aaron Rodgers? We'll examine. I apologize to Aaron Boone if he's listening. I said before the break that Aaron Boone took a shot at Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Glenn who I think took a shot at Aaron Rodgers. So, Boone, if you're listening, you're cleared. But I was listening to Aaron Glenn in his Wednesday press conference, and he announced that Justin Fields was out and was talking more about turning this team around, brick by brick, turning a big boat around, you know, all the analogies he was using.
Cliches.
A lot of cliches. Uh-huh. And then he was talking about the quarterback position, and he was talking about Tyrod Taylor. He was putting Tyrod Taylor over before he makes his first start as a New York Jet. I want you to listen to what he said and explain to me how this would not be construed as a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Are you ready?
I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of the New York Jets.
He's not one of these locker room lawyers. He doesn't point the finger at himself. Again, I'm going to go to, you know, thing I like about quarterbacks. He's not a celebrity quarterback. He's just one of the guys. Oh.
Come on, Teague.
I mean, you could tell by the first play that again. Because the first part, you almost hear him talking about Aaron Rodgers as well.
Oh, yeah. No, the whole thing was about Aaron Rodgers. Here it is again, Aaron Glenn talking about Tyrod Taylor and simultaneously taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers.
He's not one of these locker room lawyers. He doesn't point the finger at himself. Again, I'm going to go to, you know, thing I like about quarterbacks. He's not a celebrity quarterback. He's just one of the guys.
He's not a locker room lawyer.
A locker room lawyer. And remember, Aaron Rodgers this past week took a shot at one of his wide receivers like he did with the Jets, basically throwing them under the bus.
Yep.
So this war between Rodgers and Glenn, it still exists.
Yes,
like you know,
but why is Aaron Glenn engaging in it? Because he shouldn't, and he doesn't really need to. Because who cares? Aaron Rodgers is gone. He's no longer your quarterback, and he's no longer your problem unless you happen to meet him in the playoffs. So who cares?
Sign me up for that. I think that Aaron Rodgers hates Aaron Glenn. That's clear, and maybe he's got good reason to. Mm-hmm. On the way that the interview or meeting was handled back in February.
Well, I mean, AI Aaron Rodgers said that he tried to kill him. By having him drink whole milk.
that is true. Though not true, but that is true that was said.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers has taken shots at Glenn. He's taken shots at the Jets. Last week we played audio where I thought it was clear he was taking shots at Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. So this may have just been a return fire situation where I know you're talking about us. So now while I'm complimenting Tyrod Taylor, I'm going to take a shot at you.
Right.
But I don't know how anyone could hear that clip and not think he was taking a dig at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because there's nothing celebrity about the Jets quarterbacks right now. There was only nothing but celebrity with their quarterback a year ago.
Absolutely. And this actually leads to something about the Giants. So remember Russell Wilson's just absolutely brutal interception in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all thought and figure, even to this day, that was on Russell Wilson. What did Malik Nabers, Sean, say today about that play? Because this has been just perceived as Russell Wilson's issue, and maybe it was, but Malik Nabers, who's been in the league still only for 5 minutes, this is his second year in the league, said what about that play, Sean?
This from Art Stapleton's Twitter.
I mean, I don't put it on myself personally. I mean, we all play a role. I would take it as my fault. You know, I should have been in more communication with Russ to know, you know, what we was trying to do. So, you know, I was locked in on trying to figure out how the defense was playing me at the time. And I wasn't really looking at the right time for him to give me, you know, what he gave me to try to, you know, change the route up. So, yeah, that's 100% of my fault. I should have been in communication with Russ, you know, the whole time.
So Malik Nabers, and that it's so interesting listening to that because it starts by saying it's everybody's fault. And then he's like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
It's my fault. That's ownership right there.
Yeah, it is ownership. And I get what he's talking about because, I mean, I've rewatched this play a lot and I'm trying to figure out what went wrong. Why did this thing go awry? And you partly give Dallas credit because they ran a combo coverage. It was two to Malik Nabers, and you play cover two on Malik Nabers, so you have an on bottom and on top, right? You're bracketing Malik Nabers on his side. The other side of the field, it's cover four, so there's more space on that side. In theory, you probably want to go that way, but the Cowboys had it covered. So Russell Wilson, who's now feeling a little bit of pressure because Marcus Bowe had the one pressure he gave up in the game on that play, he's urgent to get rid of the ball. And that situation, if you're Russell Wilson, what are you doing? You're throwing it to Malik Nabers.
Mm.
And so he threw it to Malik Nabers. I wouldn't even say it's a miscommunication. I would just say it was bad circumstances. I don't think it was anybody's fault.
So is Malik kind of going above and beyond to take the blame?
Yes.
That's a good job out of him. I mean, honestly, you got to respect the hell out of that.
100%. I mean, the only thing Russ could have done better, if he's going to, all right, we're screwed. I got to desperately put this. Actually, you know what you do because it's second down? Throw the ball in the stands.
Oh, absolutely. Throw it away.
Throw it in the stands. It's fine. You throw it to the sideline. He threw it on the red line.
Yeah. Speaking of.
throw it to the sideline.
Yeah. But that says something
about
him.
It was on the numbers he threw it on.
That says something about Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. And it feels like Aaron Rodgers will just throw the wide receiver under the bus.
He's taken the accountable role, which I think is it's new for him.
I think I've said a lot of mean things about the Giants over the first few weeks. I don't mean to be mean. I mean to be honest. So I'm going to go the other way on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, Malik Nabers, is the truth. Because he's not only an incredible athlete, an incredible young wide receiver.
Right.
The maturity the man shows. And early on, weren't sure. Like, uh-oh, is he going to be your typical diva wide receiver? He's not. He's a leader. Everything he has said, even after when he got angry on the sidelines.
Yeah.
The way he answered that, this answer, putting it all on him. So not only do the New York Giants have this brilliantly talented young wide receiver, but they have a guy who gets it, and getting it is half the battle. So he's a wonderful player. You should be very fortunate that you have him.
Got to win some games with him.
Yeah. I understand. I was being nice. You know,
I know you
all
are.
True. But yes, of course you got to win games. That's the whole object of the sport.
The only thing that matters.
Can I update one quick breaking news item? The Yankees do not have Anthony Volpe in the lineup tonight.
Is that right?
I am stunned, as most Yankee fans should be.
I am shocked.
Caballero is back at short tonight.
I am stunned by that, too.
So what happened with Caballero 2 days ago?
What do you mean?
Like he had a gaffe in the field.
But it was just a gaffe. It wasn't like...
Well, that was the not turning of the double play, you mean?
Yeah,
and he got caught stealing. I wouldn't call that a gaffe. He's just an aggressive player.
Last night stole a base, stole late, came in.
I am genuinely surprised because I was prepared to actually argue with Sean about this.
Yeah, we were talking about this at the Mets game
because
we were score checking and box score checking. It's like, all right, Anthony Volpe's got two hits.
Yeah.
Got an RBI.
And I thought... Because my attitude about shortstop has been, it's an open competition now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you play the hot hand. And since Volpe just came back from injury, and he had a good game, I wouldn't have had a problem with him starting this game.
Right.
But Aaron Boone clearly goes back to Caballero, sending a message, I think, that Caballero's the guy.
Yes, and no Stanton tonight either. Judge back DH.
We'll get more into the Yankee lineup and the Yankee situation tonight. They play the Minnesota Twins, Mets, Padres. We'll check in on their situation later as well. Let's go to Mike in Pearl River. Hey, Mike.
Hello, hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. How you guys doing?
All's good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
I got a two-part question, actually. I'm very intrigued about the possibility of the Jets trading proposing a trade, I should say, to the Giants, knowing that Justin Fields is injured. And concussions, I don't know how many this man has had, but the Giants do have a surplus of quarterbacks.
Jameis.
I'm thinking specifically Jameis. But the other questions I have is, Evan, do you really think that the pickleball tournament is going to sell out? And is Daisy Onion Dip really a game changer? I'm going to hang up and listen.
I do think it's going to sell out.
Pickleball will sell out.
No, thank you on Jameis Winston. I don't mean that as a knock on Jameis Winston. I mean that in terms of if I'm the Jets right now and Justin Fields is going to miss time, and now Tyrod Taylor is being asked to start games. And we all know the risk with Tyrod Taylor, we mentioned it earlier, is staying healthy. I would rather, if he gets hurt, actually take a look at young Brady Cook and play the old Joe Beningo. Maybe we got something,
bro. I think what you have to do with the Jets is look at what the plan is for quarterback. Forget everything else. Forget the winning of games, all that stuff. Just specifically on a quarterback, what are you trying to do this year? And obviously, it's get a look at Justin Fields.
Yes, evaluate Justin Fields.
Right, so if we don't have to, and by the way, they signed him for 2 years.
Correct.
For $20 million a year, which is not chump change. So it's evaluate Justin Fields and hope that he prevents us from being desperate to have to draft a quarterback.
Right.
And Tyrod Taylor is there to be the mentor, to be the veteran in case you need to have someone come in and win a game, but mostly just to mentor the kid. So if you're going to be without Justin Fields, why not take another look at another young player? I think
absolutely.
I think your instinct is right.
Yeah, because what am I playing Jameis Winston for at that point.
Yeah, Jameis is the same as Tyrod Taylor. He's your backup.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not evaluating mm-hmm. Jameis Winston to eventually be my quarterback, just mm-hmm. like I'm not with Tyrod Taylor. Right. Tyrod Taylor's just a veteran stepping in. And look, here's where I would disagree with what I previously said. If the Jets are like 4-3, Fields is out, and Tyrod gets hurt, and I'm like, whoa, I'm in the race.
Yeah, when you're desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's different. But I think early this season, if things continue to go hell in a handbasket, I would just evaluate the youth that I have.
Yeah.
But the Jet plan, to me, is simple. They're evaluating Justin Fields. The way they structured his contract is that they could get out of it after this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could release him and limit the cap damage and just start over.
Yep.
And they could draft a quarterback, whether that's with a very high pick because they stink, or kind of what the Giants did, drafting a guy in the 20s or trading up to somewhere in the first round. Like, to me, the Jets are a lock to draft a quarterback in 2026. They're going to.
Yeah.
Now, where it will be in the draft, where the Jets will be, that's, of course, a mystery. But Justin Fields was always a lottery ticket. And so far, we're only 2 weeks in, but now that he has an injury, plus week two was a disaster, the lottery ticket is looking like it's not going to hit.
And we know now, no Carson Beck, no Arch Manning for the Jets. Can't have celebrity quarterbacks.
And you know what? Arch Manning is a celebrity yep. quarterback.
And he hasn't been very good.
Yeah. He'd have to walk back that line if they drafted Arch Manning, wouldn't he?
Arch might need to stay in school.
Yeah, year. No. That's the way it looks. Well, he's played three.
He has not looked good.
He's played three games, right?
Yes.
The first one was the one we all watched. I checked out after that. Mm-hmm. His second week was good, though, wasn't it?
No.
No?
He just had a lot more running. Last week was more yeah. funky. There's a lot of belief he's playing through injury.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the Mannings are leaking out excuses? Interesting.
Sounds like
that sounds about right. Sean's got a Cinco de Fiva. We'll come back with more of your calls. Plus, we'll get you set for Yankees, Twins, and Mets Padres on this Wednesday night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.